You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, Homies. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. I got a question for us today. Here's the question. What do you think of when you hear the word mercy? When you hear that word mercy, what comes to your mind? You know, maybe you're thinking mercy is for the weak. Because probably all of us have attended a Little League game, right? And we know about the mercy rule. And you mercy the team. You're just killing them. And so you pull out the mercy rule. Or maybe, you know, it comes to your mind, you show no mercy. You just show no mercy. You know, and that happens a lot in the area of sports. You maybe your coach has always told you to show no mercy to what? To the opponent. They're our enemy. Show no mercy. And here's what I believe. I believe that many of us have grown up with an understanding that mercy is not a good thing. That mercy is for the weak. And that to be merciful means that you're soft. That you're weak. And I just want to let us know today that that's just not true. And I hope to be able to help you today to understand what mercy really means. Because mercy is actually for the courageous. It's for people who are strong. It's not for the weak. And mercy is necessary for life. It's necessary in life. And if we're going to take our families to a whole new level, our homies, the people that we roll with, the people that we do life with, then all of us need a good dose of mercy. And we need to be able to extend it to others in our life if we're going to have healthy relationships. Your relationships and my relationships cannot make it unless mercy is a constant thing in our relationships with one another. Now, what I want to do is I want to give us just a quick quiz on mercy, and you can find out where you land on that, all right? So let me ask you some questions today. When my homie gets some details wrong while telling a story, do I interrupt them and correct them publicly? Is that you? Or say nothing and let it go, knowing I've done the same? Which one is you? Number one, you interrupt them. Number two, you say nothing and you just let it go. All right, here's the second question in this quiz. When my homie keeps making the same mistake over and over again, do I become irritated and angry with them? Or graciously forgive them and pray for them? Which one? How we doing? We have any merciful people here? Huh? How about this next one? When my homie says or does something that I don't understand, do I assume they have the best motivation for doing it, or question their motivation or think the worst? Y'all okay? Aren't you glad you're here? Huh? See, don't you find it hard to be merciful? Huh? And our relationships suffer because of it. Let me give you one more, okay, since we're doing so well, okay? I don't believe any of us are acing this test, okay? But let me give you one more. Maybe it'll help you. Am I more polite with strangers or my homies? Am I more polite with people who I don't even know, or am I more polite with my homies? Now, here's what I guarantee. None of us aced this. Matter of fact, I would probably say that we all flunked it. And we're all in dire need of what? Of mercy. Of mercy. You see, we all need mercy because we're all imperfect. We're imperfect people and we live among imperfect people. That's why Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, what this isn't saying is that if I'm merciful to other people, that they will automatically be merciful back to me. That's not what that's saying, okay? Because Jesus was merciful to everybody that he came in contact with. And yet he got nailed to a tree, got nailed to a cross. And so we have to understand that. What God is ultimately saying is that God will bless you and me if we're merciful to other people. Because if we're merciful to other people, ultimately we will experience his mercy. We'll experience his mercy. And so what I want to do is I just want to walk us through some things. I'm going to share a lot of information with you so that we can get a handle on this thing called mercy, because it's absolutely necessary if you're going to take your family to a whole new level, okay? You can't live without this, I promise you. It is the main characteristic of God. When you read it throughout Scripture, what you end up learning is that the main characteristic of God is that he's a merciful God. He's a merciful and loving God. And so what is mercy? What is mercy? Well, the writer Paul gives us a glimpse of God's mercy. And that's how we learn what mercy is all about. We learn from God, how he treats us. Because how he treats us is what he is calling you and I to do with one another. And here's what he says in Ephesians. And by the way, let me encourage you to follow along in your notes, all right? They're right there in your program. You can follow along. But here's what he says. But God is so rich in mercy. Isn't that interesting? He doesn't just say God is merciful. He says God is rich. He has it in abundance, okay? In abundance. God is rich in mercy, and he loved us so much because love and mercy are cousins. And many times the way in which we express mercy to people is we love one another, okay? So he says God is rich in mercy. He so loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, all right, you can only give mercy to someone who needs it. That would be me. That would be you. Dead in our sins. He gave us life, what we didn't deserve, when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Wow. So what we're learning is this. The mercy of God is that he's given us what we did not deserve. He gave us his mercy. His mercy. And so we have to understand that, because what we're going to learn is this. God has given it to you and me, and now he wants you and I to be conduits to being able to give it to other people in our life. And here's the reason why. It is impossible to have relationships without being troubled by the troubles of others. All right? Do you get that? It is impossible to have relationships without being troubled by the troubles of others. That means that every relationship that you have, you're going to be troubled by other people's troubles. And that's why we need mercy. That's why we need to experience it. And that's why we need to give it. You get married? Hello? Hey. You get married? You're going to be troubled by your husband's troubles. You get married, you're going to be troubled by your wife's troubles. You have kids, you're going to be troubled by your children's troubles. It's impossible to have any relationships without being troubled by the troubles of others. Your homies, you're going to be troubled by their troubles. And so what is mercy? Because mercy is essential if we're going to be able to take our relationships to a whole nother level. And the reason why we struggle so much in our relationships with one another is because we don't have mercy in our relationship with one another. And so what is mercy? Well, let me give you a thought here from Paul Tripp. Mercy is my commitment to live alongside of you in this broken world, even though I will suffer with you, for you, and because of you. Y'all get that? I will what? Suffer with you and for you and because of you. I will do everything I can to relieve your distress. That's mercy. Don't get married unless you're willing to extend large doses of mercy. Don't have children unless you are willing to extend large doses of mercy. Don't join a small group unless you're willing to extend large doses of mercy, because you will be troubled by the troubles of your homies, of other people. And what we have to understand is that we live in a broken world with imperfect people. And so mercy means a number of things. Mercy means you expect suffering in your relationships and are willing to endure it. Isn't it amazing? We get married and we think we're not going to have any troubles. We're not going to have any problems. We're not going to have any issues. We have kids and we think that we're not going to have any problems. We're not going to have any troubles. We think at work, we're not going to have any troubles. We're not going to suffer anything. Mercy means that you expect it. You know why? Because you understand that you're living and you're doing life with broken people in a broken world. Goes on. Here's another thought. You are willing to live with flawed people. Man, if you're not willing to live with flawed people, you're going to be lonely, man. You're going to be lonely. You're going to be all alone. And you're going to be troubled by your own troubles. How about this one here? You resist the temptation to show favoritism. That's what mercy is. You're willing to honor and bless everyone in your circle, in your family. You are committed to persevere in hardship. That's what mercy is. Mercy means, hey, you know what? My marriage is hard. My marriage is difficult. It's challenging. My son is difficult. My daughter's difficult. My work is difficult. And you know what? I'm going to what? I'm going to be committed to persevere in this hardship because I'm going to extend mercy. How about this one here? You reject a personal happiness agenda. See, that's why we check out of marriages. I'm not happy anymore. I married you to make me happy, and you're not making me happy anymore. So you know what? I'm not going to persevere in this hardship. So let's just get a divorce. That's why we cut people out of our life. Because what happens is we have a personal happiness agenda. And if you have a personal happiness agenda, you'll never be a merciful person. Now, you'll want people to extend you mercy, but you won't extend other people mercy. How about this one here? You live with a commitment to forgive. You know, you just practice forgiveness. You get up every day and say, you know what, God? Today I choose to forgive my spouse. Today I choose to forgive my kids. Today I choose to forgive my homies. Today I choose to forgive the people that I work with. See, that's what mercy is. That's what mercy is. Mercy also means that you overlook minor offenses. Listen to me. People who get offended easy are not merciful people. They're people of law. They're people of law. How about this one? You do not compromise what is morally right and true. Because I know what some of us are thinking. What do you mean that if I'm merciful, I just let everybody get away with whatever they want to do? No. Mercy is much broader than that. We're going to learn that here in a moment. You do not compromise what is morally right and what is true, because that's not being merciful to that person. Being merciful to that person is wanting to help them out, is wanting what is best for them. And sometimes, listen to me, sometimes we think people are mean. We think that God is mad at us. But it's His mercy that will not allow you and I to get away with certain things, because He knows where that will take us. He knows where that will lead us. And so mercy is that you do look over minor offenses, but you do not compromise what morally is right and true. And so we all need mercy. We all need mercy. Now, how can this be lived out in a practical way in your life and in my life? I want to give us four things, okay? Here's the first thing that we need to understand. Mercy is an act of the will. It is an act of the will. Just like love, we talked about that last week, mercy is not a feeling, okay? If you wait until you feel like being merciful, man, I pity the people that you live with, okay, or work with, because you'll never feel that way. You'll always feel superior. You'll always feel that way. It's an act of the will. You see, what happens is you realize how God has treated you, and I realize how God has treated me, and then you ask, how can I be that to someone else? Because listen, if I'm a Christ follower, if today you've experienced God's mercy, His forgiveness, His kindness, His compassion, then we are called to extend that to other people. And so mercy is an act of the will. Jesus said it like this: be merciful just as your Father is merciful. So He's giving us a command. And like we talked about last week, you can't command an emotion. I can't command you to be happy. I can't command you to be sad. So mercy is an act of the will. It's something that you and I have to decide on. I like to say it like this: mercy is a decision that is backed up by my committed actions. I'm committed to being merciful to Patty and to Caleb and to Sarah and to Jonathan and to Benjamin. I'm committed to being merciful to the people that I serve with at work. I've got to make that commitment. I've got to make that decision now. It's an act of the will. Now, here's the second thing that it is, okay? Mercy doesn't judge but helps. It's an act of the will, but it doesn't judge, it helps. Merciful people don't point the finger. They lend a helping hand. They don't judge a condition, they remedy it. See, what happens is merciful people don't stand on the sidelines. I would like to help you, but you were just plain stupid. You've made your bed, now what? Now lie in it, okay? You went down the wrong path. I tried to warn you, but you wouldn't listen to me. So you're getting what you deserve. You're getting what you deserve. Everybody knew that it was going to happen to you. Mom tried to tell you. I tried to tell you. Your sister tried to tell you. Everybody in the small group tried to tell you, you fool. But that's not mercy. Mercy doesn't judge. Mercy helps. Mercy helps. Saying that you should have known better and you've made your bed of roses so you have to lie in it is not being merciful. See, I have to deal with this, because if I don't make it a choice, if I don't make it a decision, I won't be merciful. Okay, it's just not in my repertoire. It's not in my box. All right? And I remember one time I was dealing with somebody who I was in close relationship with, and I had warned them over and over and over and over again. Yeah. I know. And guess what happened? They did exactly what I had counseled them not to. And they came back to me, and they had tears in their eyes. And I have to confess to you, you know what I want to do? I didn't want to love on them. I wanted to lecture them. Ever been there? I wanted to say, yeah, okay, you remember those talks that we had? And here's what God brought to my remembrance from Proverbs. And it's this: the way of the transgressors is hard. You know what? He was already broken. He was already suffering the consequences. He didn't need me to judge him. He needed me to help him. He didn't need me to tell him, I told you so, should have listened. When are you going to wise up? He needed a hug. He needed an embrace. And so mercy doesn't judge, it helps. But let me give us this third one, and that is this. Mercy doesn't overlook the wrong either. Mercy doesn't overlook the wrong either. Mercy isn't about being wishy-washy. Mercy isn't about lowering your standards. Mercy isn't about acting as though bad things never happen or wrong things are never done. You know, we're not doing anybody a favor when we rescue people constantly from the natural consequences of their decisions. It's a powerful thing to be able to have to face and deal with your choices. But the question is, how do we do that? How do we handle when something is wrong? How do we handle when somebody gets it wrong? How does God handle it with you and me when we get it wrong? You see, Jesus would say it like this in Matthew 18:15. He says, if your brother or sister sins, if your homie sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. So what is Jesus saying here? You don't overlook it. You know what you do? If you have mercy, you deal with it. Because if you overlook it, listen to me, if you overlook it, you become resentful and bitter and angry. And so mercy doesn't overlook the wrong. Mercy deals with it in a loving, kind, gentle way. You see, mercy is not about calling wrong right, because if wrong were right, mercy would not be needed. See, the reason why I know that I need mercy is because I get it wrong. And God calls it out in my life. But he wants to help me. He wants to help me. And what happens is we think that God's mad at us when he calls things out in our life, just like we think that other people are angry and mad at us when they call things out in our life, because we think that mercy means that you overlook everything. You don't. If you overlook everything, you don't have mercy for the person. You don't love them. Because if you know that something is wrong, you love them enough to lovingly tell them the truth. And so mercy is not about calling wrong right, because if wrong were right, mercy would not be needed. The reason why I know I need mercy is because I don't get it right all the time. Let me ask you a question. Are you okay with somebody correcting you? Huh? Are you okay with somebody pointing something out and saying, hey, you know what? I'm not for sure if that's right. Are you okay with that? You need to be, because you need mercy, and that's part of mercy. Mercy isn't saying, that's okay, just go do whatever you want. No, that'll lead you to a destructive life, a painful life. The way of the transgressor is what? Hard. So let me give you this last one. Mercy extends compassion, forgiveness, and patience. You see, when you see that which is wrong, when you see that which is sin, what happens is we don't go in with a club, okay? We don't go in with an obnoxious attitude. We extend compassion. Man, I hurt for you. We extend forgiveness. And we're patient with them. That means that we're willing to what? Come alongside of them. I'm willing to help you make your wrong right. I'm not leaving you out there by yourself. I want to be able to walk with you through this difficult, hard time that you're having. I want to help you move through this. I want to help you process this. You see, Paul tells us in Colossians, he says, make allowance for each other's faults. It's being patient with one another. And forgive anyone who offends you. Here's the key. You ready? Why? Because the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. See, that's why I must allow for faults in people's lives. That's why I must forgive. I must extend compassion, forgiveness, and patience. Not overlook the wrong, but be willing to come alongside of people, whether it's my son, whether it's my daughter, whether it's my wife, whether it's my spouse, whether it's a co-worker. Why? Because I have mercy. And so that's what mercy is. Now, let me answer this question. Why should I be merciful? Why should I be merciful? Let me give you four things quickly, okay? Number one, God has shown me mercy. Incredible mercy. I wouldn't be here today if it were not for the mercy of God. And here's what Jesus has to say. He says, shouldn't you have mercy on others just as I have mercy on you? And see, listen to me, mom and dad, listen. One of the things that your kids need is not for you to be judge, but for you to be merciful to them. They need that because that's the main characteristic of God. The main characteristic of God is that he's merciful. And we need to be merciful with our kids. We need to extend compassion and forgiveness and patience with them. Not necessarily overlooking the wrong, but willing to work with them and go with them through their struggles and through their issues. And so I need to show mercy because God has shown it to me. Secondly, because God commands me to be merciful. That's why it's an act of my will. God commands me. Hosea would say it like this: I don't want your sacrifices. I want you to be merciful. I want you to be merciful. And here's the third reason why I need to be merciful. I'm going to need more mercy. Listen, I am so imperfect, it's unbelievable. Now, for some of you, it's very believable. But for others of you, it might be hard because you know what? You get my best shot on Sunday morning. But the fact of the matter is, I'm a flawed individual. And so I'm going to need mercy, and so I need to give mercy. Again, here's what James would say. You must show mercy to others, or God won't show mercy to you. Uh-oh. But the person who shows mercy can stand without fear at the judgment. Wow. And so I need to be able to understand that I'm going to be in constant need of mercy. And then here's the fourth one. Mercy brings happiness. Wow. You show me a merciful person, and I'll show you a happy person. Here's how Jesus says it. Jesus says, happy are those who are merciful to others. Happy are those who are merciful to others. And here's what I want to understand. Listen, mom, dad, okay, all the homies, okay? Here's what we need to understand. Our primary calling as a parent or a friend is not first to represent God's judgment, but rather to constantly deliver his mercy. His mercy. And you know what? I want you to listen to this story because it's a story of a man who experienced God's mercy, and it allowed him to be able to do that throughout his whole family. Check out this video.
I remember almost being shocked growing up and hearing about the family system that my father grew up in, just hearing about when his father, Ray, would make my dad and my uncle Scott box. And then when he wasn't satisfied with how much they were beating on each other, he would take the gloves and he would beat on both the boys until they were bleeding, and they couldn't have been older than 10 years old at the time. My dad was the third oldest in a family of six, and he grew up with an incredibly abusive father. And when my dad was 11 years old, his father just walked out on the family, and my dad's mom took their family and was forced to move into a much poorer neighborhood because they could no longer afford the house they were living in. And so growing up, each member of the family turned to different things to try to cope with their dysfunction and the brokenness of their home and their poverty. And my dad turned to sports. And in high school, he excelled in sports and became a track and a basketball star. And then after that, he went on to the Coast Guard Academy and joined the military and experienced great success there, made it all the way to the rank of a Lieutenant 03. But the whole time, he couldn't get rid of this anger and hurt that had been built up inside of him. And he began to turn to going out drinking with his buddies and then getting in fights to try to get rid of that anger. But nothing seemed to satisfy that feeling that was in him, and he could never break that longing for his own father to be proud of him. Fast forward a couple of years, my dad met a girl named Virginia at the Coast Guard, and they were soon married. But each of them feared raising a family because of what had been done to them. Even my mom was a victim of abuse. She was preyed upon by a high school English teacher. My parents were so afraid of doing to others what had been done to them that they actually aborted two pregnancies before they had me. But a year later, my dad felt a powerful draw in his heart to attend a local Christian crusade in the San Francisco area. And that night he had a powerful experience with Jesus Christ. And that night he called up my mom and said, "Our lives are changing." And from that time, God came in, and the hurt and the rejection that he had experienced from his earthly father now was being replaced by the love and the acceptance of his heavenly father. And he now had the ability to love his wife in a new way and to learn how to treat people around him differently. And when they found out that they were pregnant with me, they felt that they had what they needed to start a new family and learn a new way to do this. The best way to describe my dad is that he is my hero, and he's everything that I wanted to be like. And I love the fact that he looks out for our family and knows when to kind of put his foot down to protect his family. And that inspires me as a father of a little boy and now a little girl to be that hero for my own family, to protect and to provide for them, and to go beyond just the normal, hey, you need clothes, you need food, but to be invested in their lives, to be interested in the things that they're good at, to encourage them in those things, and to always connect that to God has designed you for something very specific. And I want to be the one to encourage you to go that direction, because that's what my father did for me. And it made a tremendous impact in my own life. And he's just the most important man in my life.
Wow. Did you catch what he said? I hope you did. Let me help you if you didn't. They were afraid that they would do to others what had been done to them. And yet when he experienced the mercy of God, the grace of God, the love of God, it so transformed him that, you know what, he decided that he wanted to have a family because of what he experienced. See, when you experience the mercy of God and you fully understand that, what happens is it allows you and I to be merciful to other people in our lives. You see, our primary calling as a parent and a friend is not first to represent God's judgment. That's where we have a tendency to go. But rather to constantly deliver His mercy. Now, if you're like me, you struggle with this. You see, I'm like the psalmist who wrote this. God, I want to live a blameless path, but how I need your help, especially in my home, especially with my homies, where I long to act as I should. Wow. Anybody identify with me there? You see, but there's some mercy killers that will come into your path and come into my path unless I address them, that will keep you and I from being merciful. Let me give them to you quickly. One is unclear boundaries. Listen, you will never be able to be consistently merciful unless you have boundaries in your life. And what is a boundary? You determine what is okay and what is not okay. And so you have to have clear boundaries. And when you what happens in many families, we fight over the same things over and over and over again. Of where we just say, I can't be merciful anymore. I'm tired of this, right? Because there's no boundaries. Here's the second one, and that is this, inconsistent discipline. Here's what I mean by that. We have to ask, when we discipline people, whether it's at home or whether it's at work, am I doing this for my benefit or am I doing this for their benefit? Inconsistent discipline always leans towards, I'm doing this for my benefit. I'm angry, I'm mad, I'm upset. Here's the third one, unbalanced correction. Unbalanced correction. Do I find myself just constantly correcting and correcting and correcting and correcting and never noticing the good? I never notice when the tank is full. I just notice when it's empty. Okay? That's unbalanced correction. And that'll kill mercy. Okay? They say for every negative, we need at least 10 positives. So we have to ask ourselves that. How about this one here? Unreasonable demands. Unreasonable demands will kill mercy. I've been guilty of this. I remember when we were training and developing our kids, I would catch myself every once in a while with one of our kids, probably all four of them. Quit acting like a baby. Guess what they were? They were babies. I just wasn't full of mercy. I had unreasonable demand. You know why? Because, listen to me, being merciful is costly. It's inconvenient. That's why we don't go that route. You're making my life inconvenient. You're making it hard. You're making it difficult. And so what happens is we have unreasonable demands. Or how about this? Unspoken expectations. Unspoken expectations. That what happens is we cop the attitude that our wife or our husband or our mom or our dad or our kids should just be able to read our minds. And so what happens is we have these unexpectations that are not met. And so you know what? We struggle with anger and frustration and resentment. And we just said, go ahead, just ruin your life. Just go ahead. I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to warn you. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to direct you. I'm not going to correct you. I'm not going to do anything. Just go ahead. Because what happens is our expectations have not been fulfilled. And the fact of the matter is most of those expectations can only be met by God anyways. How about this last mercy killer? Undeserved or unresolved anger. Wow, that's a mercy killer. That means that what happens is I don't resolve my anger. I let the sun go down on my anger. Or and in doing so, I direct my anger to people who are closest to me, who aren't really even the target of my anger, but I got to get rid of it. These are all mercy killers. Listen to me as I wrap up. If you're going to take your family to a whole nother level, or any relationship to a whole nother level, it needs to be filled with mercy and mercy. And here's the question that I have for us. Do you need to ask for God's mercy today? See, what did we find out in the video? It was only when Rob experienced mercy that he was able to be a dispenser of it. And maybe you're here today and maybe you need to say, God, I need your mercy. I've gotten it wrong. And I need your mercy. I need you to forgive me. I need you to be more active in my life. And maybe that's where you're at. And God wants to do that. And here's my last question for us. To whom do you need to extend mercy to? That you've been withholding it. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your oldest child. You're frustrated and you're angry with him. And he doesn't need your judgment. He needs your help. Doesn't mean that you overlook the wrong. It just means that you extend compassion and forgiveness and you're patient with them. You come alongside. Maybe it's a coworker. I don't know. But I tell you what, it's going to take mercy if you're going to have great relationships, if I'm going to have great relationships. Let's pray. God, today, man, we stand in your presence and I am one who needs your mercy because I get it wrong so often. Help me not to forget how kind and gentle and loving and forgiving and compassionate you are towards me. So I will extend that to Patty and to the kids, to the people I work with and serve with, and to my homies. And I pray that all of us will understand the power of mercy today like we've never understood it before. And that as we are reminded how you are so merciful with us and that we need it continually, that we would extend it to others in our life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and we give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know about how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.